Welcome to the Quack 12 Podcast, the most official, unofficial Oregon Ducks podcast on the web footosphere. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Quack 12 Podcast or visit our website, quack12podcast.com. If you like what you hear, please leave us 5 stars on your listening device. And if you'd like to support the show, please visit the Quack 12 Patreon page, where for a measly $5 a month, you can become an official Quacker and unlock hundreds of hours of Oregon Duck content. On to the show. Quack, quack.
Quack!
Quack!
Quack, 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 quack.
Quack,
quack, quack, quack, quack, quack, quack. Oh, yeah.
Quack. Well, then, I am your host, Adam Jamail.
And I'm Aaron Schroeder.
That is right. And this is the Quack 12 Podcast, the most official, unofficial Oregon Ducks podcast on the web footosphere. And Aaron?
Yes.
Let us duck around no further.
Oh.
We've got a guest. It's not just you and me.
Get on, Ducka. Get on, Ducka. Get on, Ducka.
Now we got to pay for that. So thanks a lot. We got to pay the James Brown estate.
Hey, worth it. Worth every penny. Genius. Yeah. Mastermind.
His family needs to do cocaine too. All right. He's not around.
Hey.
I don't want to slander. I'm sure they're all living sober and clear.
It's a hell of a drug.
It is. You're talking Rick James, but I bet Brown said that too. Rick James Brown. Is that anything?
You go. My favorite one is Fleetwood. Greta Von Fleetwood Mac DeMarco. Ruminate on that one.
I don't like that one as much.
All right.
My friend one time had a Bo Diddley cover band where they covered Edgar Allan Poe's lyrics with the Bo Diddley-esque background called Poe Diddley.
For it. 100% for that.
Aaron, we have a guest.
What?
This is a big time guest. This is a big time guest.
I didn't
guest.
Even clean up around the house. Jeez.
I can tell I still got that bomber look, soon to be bomber look in the background, if you know what I mean. I just call it as I see it, buddy.
I don't know what that means, bomber.
You know, like, well, we don't get into it.
We'll get into it later.
Aaron, we've had almost every member of this podcast on this podcast as a guest, but we're saving the best for last. I'll say it. We're saving the best for last.
Oh, I see what you're doing there. Our guest is from another podcast.
It's from another podcast.
Got you.
And
phrasing,
you know, we were building it up, getting better and better and better and better. We thought we peaked at Greg. We thought that was as high as it goes.
That's for sure Mount Rainier, baby doll. There's nothing taller. Yeah.
No, well, get ready, my man. About to blow your mind. Get to the next level.
How?
Because before this man made his debut, and possibly is that we don't know when his final episode of No Truck Stops Pod will ever be. It could be any minute now.
Shit.
Just like I could walk off this podcast at any minute and then just be you.
We know how that would go.
It'd quickly be a not Oregon Ducks podcast.
Yes, it would quickly be a not Oregon Ducks.
No, this is one, a dear friend of mine, not only a dear friend, but today we're going to say they're a correspondent because we sent this one of the most meaningless football things ever. But at the same time, because it means so little, it kind of means a little bit more. We'll break that down a little bit for you, Aaron.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's heavy. That sounds heavy.
That'd be a good place to cut to a commercial if we had any sponsors. But this is
we don't, head over to iTunes, give us 5 stars, rate and review us. Everything you do helps us go up in the algorithm, and then more people can get quality content just like this.
That's right. But Aaron, of No Truck Stops Podcast, I love this podcast since day one when I started listening to it. And then they added some, I felt seen all of a sudden. Because instead of getting all these talks about, why Utah is the coolest, best thing and all of, why Washington State has a chance at winning it all, blah, blah, blah. I finally got some voice of reason, some voice of bias, which is really what I was looking for, too. And that is my dear friend, Pac-10 Reed of No Truck Stops Podcast. How you doing, Reed?
Awesome. Thank you for the kind words, Adam. Yeah, great to be on. Big fan of Quack 12 myself, so it's awesome to finally be here.
Have you rated and reviewed us?
Of course. Of course. Since day one.
Good. Whoa, Adam, you're getting
I did that.
The Matrix.
It was cool, but I have no idea how I did that. That's great. Yeah, we just invite guests so we can berate them into giving us five stars.
And that's shame. About shame.
That's it. Yeah. Once again, though, everyone, No Truck Stops podcast. If you like this podcast, but wish it was a little bit duck centered, less duck centered, more on the whole hog of what was the West Coast football.
Oh, shit. We have a whole thing to unpack there.
Oh, yeah. Now it's full of truck stops. But now it's only Truck Stops podcast. But my friend here, I've been listening to you just about every single week. And then Carlos hits the episode and I get so angry that I have to turn it up. No, I'm joking. Carlos is a good guy. But I love your banter back and forth. I love that you two may kill each other at any moment. How are things going over there at No Truck Stop Spot?
I'm continuing to fight the good fight, you know. Carlos, yeah, tough to put up with, definitely. I think I agree. My voice was much needed over there. There was a lot of Oregon slander before I came on. Greg, Greg did his best, but I think that they definitely need me to take over. So, yeah, it's going well. We're excited for the next season. Definitely enjoying a little bit of a break. Not as many spring football enjoyers over there. But I'm holding it down for some spring football content. And, you know, this is our time. The off season, this is when Oregon propaganda really lives on. You know, this is what we live for, the off season. Dreams can run wild. You say in the intro, 12-0. Honestly, I think this upcoming season, best shot for 12-0 since the 2014 team. This is the time it could really come through.
Oh, this is awesome.
When did Quack 12 start for the first time?
We were so excited.
Oh, yeah.
To cover our new coach, Willie Taggart.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Year
How'd
one.
How'd that one turn out?
It was awesome.
Turnhill Will, he got out of here pretty quick. We came up with a few more nicknames. I think that was the only one that stuck for me. Yeah, it wasn't great. I was hyped, though. I mean, we probably had this same conversation of like, I knew even less about ball than I do now, but in 2017, I was definitely like, Aaron, I think we're going to go undefeated.
Yeah.
And Aaron said, I don't give a shit. And that's how every episode's been ever since. Yeah.
Yep.
But it's we started the Willie Taggart era. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the prophecy of the podcast where you both have to witness a 12-0 season at some point. Mm-hmm. And
we
I think we're
close. Yeah,
we're entering an era of hope here. I think one's coming in the next decade. We're going to do it one time, I think.
That'd be nice. We're honestly trying to go maybe full prophecy when we win the national championship. That is the final episode of the Quack 12 podcast. We're shutting this shit down. What do you think?
Well,
about
I mean,
Aaron?
It's for sure the it's going to be the week after that the greatest coach ever born leaves our team. So
Dan Lanning.
Yeah, so we're going to
win an Addy and
we'll
gone.
Leave with wherever he goes, we go. We just become them instead.
We're just Dan Lanning fans. Dan Lanning fans.
Yeah.
Like LeBron.
And we changed the name of the podcast to We Got the Fever.
I guess. Doesn't make much sense, but
it's
I do the land. Yeah. Like he's a Mary Poppins. He just showed up, cleaned everything up. And
that's right.
Okay.
Got the big award, then was like, peace.
I pray to God this is our final season we ever cover. Every episode, I
right?
The final thing we ever have to do. But the spring game is here, like you said. So full of hope we are usually around this time, you know, especially now when this is arguably the most talented team we've ever had. Like, you could always say that about others, especially when you're seeing like the results of a team, the results of a roster. But on paper, there are so many damn stars on this thing, and. First of all, you going to a spring game, what do you want to get out of a spring game?
I think the biggest thing for me is I just want to be in Autzen again. It's an excuse to be there with other fans, you know, stay for the third quarter, get to hear shout, get to look at some players in person. But I feel like nowadays with Lanning, he really likes to keep a lid on things, keep the state secrets in house. So it's a pretty boring game plan when you get out there, pretty vanilla offense. So I try to hold back from going through every play, dissecting too much, because I think it is a glorified scrimmage at best.
Yeah, it's the game that we get to celebrate regardless.
Exactly.
Whoever
they
wins,
should just discount hot dogs and then it's perfect.
Ooh, now you're thinking.
Yeah, just make it a party. $2 beer.
They had the concert. They had the concert of
exactly.
The guy seems nice. We looked him up last time. We do know he's a bona fide star. I was the one being like, does anyone even know who the fuck this guy is? And then you pulled up like five top 10 hits or something. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. Well, it's not our kind of music, but I do appreciate them pulling shit like this, getting someone. A lot of people love that coming home to Oregon. So, what are your thoughts on that song? If you had a thumbs up, thumbs down.
Where would my thumb be? I think I would be, I'm not the full 90 degrees straight up. I think I'm more like I'm a 45 right there. I'm for it after the first quarter. I think it works, but it's not my type of music in general. I didn't stay for the post game concert. It's not my thing, but
sure.
I enjoy it a little bit after the first quarter. I love Oregon. I'm from Oregon, born and raised. So it taps into that a little bit.
Nice. I like that it literally says the word Oregon. That's why I'm like, keep it in.
You gotta have it.
You gotta have it. The Joker and the Thief song. I'm like, we could probably replace that one. That's me personally. It's just so like, there's nothing to Eugene or anything in there. And
all the songs and the things the band plays, they're like so ingrained in me though. If I play them in other contexts, like I get flashbacks to Oregon games, and there's a certain brand of like anxiety and excitement that I just, Joker and the Thief is like so entrenched in Oregon football at this point. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know what to do without it. Do I love it? No, but I've accepted it. It's a part of who we are at this point.
I get
Did you grow up a Duck? Like, is this even from childhood?
Yeah. I'm a bit younger, I guess, born in 2000. So my story, grew up in Portland and was just swept up by the whole thing. My parents aren't necessarily like huge Oregon fans. They didn't go to Oregon or anything, but they supported me. I kind of grew them into Oregon fans in a lot of
ways.
Nice.
Reverse grooming.
Exactly. Yeah. Dennis Dixon's my guy. That was when I fell in love for sure. Playing with him in NCAA 07, I think is really where my Ducks fandom peaked. Just do the Hail Marys, four verticals, and then you just scramble with Dixon out to the side 20 yards every time.
It's also a great season to start like a kid at, because it's like showing them like Bambi or something. Like, here's like this beautiful, wonderful movie, and also movies can be heartbreaking. You know what I mean?
Like, immediately.
Yeah.
The mix of love and pain in that season, was pretty much perfect. I was hooked from there on. You know, get to 2009, get to a Rose Bowl, lose to Ohio State, and then 2010 season was like, you know, I was 10 years old. I think that's, you probably never care about sports quite as much as when you're 10. And so for that season to like go the way that it did, had me hooked for life. And I've been stuck.
That's ever since. Awesome.
Hell yeah. I mean, I never cared about sports so much as when we were Pac-10. So I get,
I'm right there with you. Yeah. No, I mean,
it was a good time. Good time back then. Now those are collectible. Anything with a Pac-10 on it too. I feel so cool. 40,000 people were at this spring game.
Good God. Packed. Is that, what does it hold?
Is it like 60? What is it? 60 something like that?
Yeah, I think it's 58,000 maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Getting close. Should have been 58. Good. Should have been 60,000 in the stands. But
well,
you know,
Aaron, let me tell you.
I wasn't able to make it.
Yeah, you weren't able to make it. But this is something that like a lot of other teams, like a Washington, a Cal, UCLA. I mean, UCLA and Cal, they're barely showing up for premier games, but like spring, it's like a nothing, you know. Right. And then certain other parts of the country, it'll be completely packed, as if everything. We are definitely in the top percentile of people showing up for something that is completely meaningless. So I hope that means something to you.
No way, dude! You get to see the cool soft helmets. Those things are badass.
This is my thing about the soft helmets. I don't
is
know
that
how
they're badass.
This. They're badass. They look like Ninja Turtles. And also, I'm like, okay, so if you're wearing this because they are safer,
right?
what's the argument for not wearing these at all times?
Well, the NFL has announced the NFL next season is going to allow players to choose if they want to wear them or not.
I mean, they look fucking, they look like ninja. I think Ninja Turtle every time I see it. Helps that we're wearing green.
I love that. I kind of see the mushroom people from Mario Bros.
Mario Goombas.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you see when you see them, Reed?
Well, I wonder what the future there is, because like if we lean into that, if those become the standard helmets, then you know, how are you going to get the wing design on that? Once Oregon, because you know Oregon's going to have to innovate. It's not just going to, we're not going to be allowing our players out there and just,
we're going to have like that.
Literal wings.
We're going to put actual wings on the side.
Yeah. Like Mario guys.
Yeah. You can run and do a Luigi jump.
Oh, like a few extra little.
Yeah.
Yeah. Defensive linemen getting a, pass breakup, just jumping up in the air and the wing hitting it.
That's bad. It's Oregon, so we still wouldn't pick it off, but it would be a really good pass breakup.
this actually sounds like a far better version of football that we just need all teams to have hands hanging off of their helmets.
You've been called a robot forever in football. Yeah, anyway. So you don't need to start that again. 40,000 people apparently.
I love it.
Which is pretty awesome. Can you what just tell us vibes what? Vibes, weather.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. It's prime time, right?
That was everything, yeah.
Vibes were immaculate, definitely. It was classic Autzen in terms of rain surrounding both sides, but in the game time, no rain to be found. It was raining when I drove up there, raining when I drove back, but no rain while I was in Autzen, of course. Really packed crowd, like you said, 40,000. And in terms of like a spring game where people are leaving a few spots open, it's open seating, general admission type of thing. So it was full, you know, we're not packed in there, but people are touching pretty much all the entire area of the stadium at 40,000. And I think people are just so excited about this upcoming season, the potential to have like maybe the best team in Oregon history, certainly a chance for that. We'll see what happens, and just hopeful. Some people hopeful about the move to the Big Ten, certainly I think has brought some energy. I'm going to miss the Pac-12 personally, but I understand it. We have to accept it at some point, but yeah, vibes were great. I think people were just so excited to see this team, and everyone's so bought into Lanning. It's really exciting. I think it's so much positivity around him, especially like we just had the end of the Helfrich era. You know, people got a lot of resentment there. Mm-hmm. Taggart, we never fully got in on. We had some really good years with Cristobal, but the last couple of people got pretty bitter towards him in those last 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And
year
and
one was
in.
Great with him and then trash. Oh, I was like, year one, great. Year two,
well, we won
you.
A Rose Bowl. I have to remind you this. We did win a Rose Bowl. So there's no trash. But I also watched those games. I know exactly what you mean. Like the excitement there wasn't quite. And then always knowing like he's probably going to go to Miami as opposed to Lanning being like sending that like, fuck no, I'm staying Alabama video was.
Right. I think that at that moment, I mean, when we never got to actually play Alabama on the field in the early 2010s when it was all the we want Bama talk and we were the two big brands, but we finally got our metaphorical victory over Alabama. And I feel like we're invincible now, like Lanning publicly turning down Bama.
Yes.
Our ultimate fear of being that stepping stone program and then have DeBoer obviously take the job 3 days later. It's like we're bulletproof at this point.
That was so amazing. That series of events was so great. Speaking of great and amazing, Oregon may have not one, but two kickers. And suddenly all the possibilities seem open. First of all, we stole one, which is the best, Atticus Sappington from the Beavers.
Who, does this dude show up in like a pinstripe suit with an umbrella and talks about like a secret league of extraordinary gentlemen he happens to be a part of?
Well, all of his lineage, he sold tree sap to each town.
Great. Perfect.
Town by town.
I love. Oh, yeah.
Also, Grant Meadors? That's how I'm going to say his name. Okay. All I'm saying is there was competent, confident kicking in the spring game. And that's something I can always, I mean, I love Camden Lewis, but, and this also kind of proves that, you know, take a, the spring game with a big old grain of salt. But like, you always heard about, like, you know, like, holy shit, Camden Lewis is hitting it from 60 yards out. And then in crucial game times, most of the time he was good. Most of the time he was good. But, you know, we all
remember you.
But these two guys look good, man. I don't know. It's not real games, but it was nice to see. I'll tell you that.
I have that enough kicker trauma that, yeah, I will absolutely take it.
Yes.
Shout out Maldonado. You know, shout out Camden against Washington. Yeah, we've been through some rough ones. So it was a welcome sight for sure. I didn't realize in the stadium at the time that the one that Grant Meadors drilled, it was from like 49.
Yeah.
I kind of like, Because, you know, you're not watching on TV. It didn't get announced or whatever. And I was like, oh, 40-yarder or something. And I'm like, whoa, that was a long-ass kick that he hit. And there was some distance left on it. So,
yeah,
that was pretty cool to see.
I was stoked about that. The other big things, the only things I really care about is, like, who do you see actually get on the field even for a second? Because, you know, they're not, like, you know, in a wheelchair at that moment or something. It means, like, you know, they're kicking there. And so that I felt overall confident in that. But then there was many injuries during the spring game, which is absolutely not what you want to see. Absolutely not what you want to see. I can't really tell you how serious any of these are, Aaron. Okay. Like Reed said about like Dan Lanning kind of keeping it under lock and key. Like he's pretty into being like, oh, everyone's good. Everyone's fine. Don't worry about it. Even if you don't see them, you know, week one or whatever. I know the transfer Kobe Savage, who this is, you know, in the secondary, we're really looking for people. I believe Kobe Savage was out for a second. Who else? Oh, Trayshawn Dante Manning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trayshawn Holden, very promising receiver. And then like, that was very sad to see Dante Manning out. Does this mean anything? I don't know. Hopefully not. It did seem like some of them kind of... Did you catch anything? Did you sneak down there and hear the coaches say anything or what?
I was pretty close, but I wasn't able to get any of the state secrets. Lanning just... He's not going to tell us anything. That's how he is.
Do you not have all-access press passes?
We tried to send you one of those before.
Adam, where do you find these people? I thought we had an all access guy over here.
Shit, dude. I'm sorry. I'll just hit stop record right now. No. It's who knows. And then there's so many amazing times where you'll see someone just like walk off the field to look seriously injured. Then like 3 steps later after some super, I don't know, serum gets them or something.
What if he has just told them, look, you're going to play for 2 minutes when you're done. Just kind of limp off the field just to throw the scent off. We don't want people knowing how healthy you are. It's like the alien conspiracy. The aliens are the conspiracy.
Oh, whoa.
The injury is the fake.
Okay. We'll get into this alien conspiracy a little deeper in the off season. That's
where the show would go if you left.
And then at the very end, like, so what do you think? What do you think about the Ducks?
Yeah.
One thing I loved that just kind of solidified Dan Lanning like crazy bastard status is like, and even in the, you know, in the game, he's like keeping it like pretty vanilla play calling, as you said, like obviously if anyone a hint of injury trying to get him out of there, unfortunate that, you know, people need to be helped off. But one thing that really cracked me up was seeing Dylan Gabriel and Dante Moore out there pretty late when they absolutely didn't have to be. Like Dante Moore running in that touchdown when no one was allowed to touch him was the funniest thing. It was like a 70-yard touchdown and literally no one's allowed to touch him. And he's running around with that energy like, you can't catch me. It was so damn funny. But Dylan Gabriel was going out there with the lead with the green team and playing, like clearly being told, play as if you're down 6. Like, right. That's pretty Dan Lanning. I don't know about you.
He's going for the kill. I'm with the rest of the fan base. Like, I'm so in on Lanning at this point. He's our guy. I'm so comfortable being like committed to him for the next however long, as long as he'll stay here, really.
Seems like.
Yeah, but quarterbacks were great. You know, I think some people were, there were some groans early after a few incompletions here and there, but ultimately, I just say, like, we weren't running our full offense. We've seen, if you haven't watched Dylan Gabriel, like, he's already started in five seasons as a college quarterback. He is what he is at this point. And I, you know, I mean, Hithloday, I guess, is expecting a jump from him. Hopefully Hithloday's right, but he's definitely not a bad quarterback. We at least know the lower bound of him. Like, he's not a bad quarterback. We've seen him play at a pretty good level, and maybe he can take a jump from that. Maybe not. But I'm not worried about it overly. And then Dante Moore, I don't know if you all watched him at UCLA much. I'm guessing Aaron didn't. Maybe Adam.
Nope. I mean, if we played him, then yes. But otherwise, no.
We did not play UCLA last year.
Then there you go. I've not seen. I don't even know who this guy is.
Yeah, you don't even care. I did watch a lot of him and was like, found myself so often rooting for, unfortunately, UCLA to be like, get this upset, and him just throwing like a hideous pick six or something like that. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. He had some issues, but he's so like, I loved him out of high school, and the way he throws the ball, the different arm angles he can access. Like, there's, if you squint your eyes, there's a little bit of Mahomes in there. And I know we're going off on the propaganda train, but he is the way that he can loft the ball, like, he just can access so many different throws, and he looked like he was having so much more fun on Saturday in Autzen than I ever saw him at UCLA. Like,
I was just about,
maybe he was getting down for a shout. He was loving it.
Nice.
I think maybe the issue with him over there was actually Chip.
I think that's very,
I don't think it was a him issue. I think it was a Chip issue.
Yeah. I am just having a roster that was not fit to really compete at that level even. Yeah. I think,
I don't know that he's fit to compete at that level.
Well, we'll see. We'll see, won't we? And it was even crazy because even like Austin Novus had got some time and looked pretty fucking good, if I'm being real.
I know, like, it's far cry from the years of like, Ty Thompson's really good under Chris Paul. You hear how good he is. And shout out Ty, Tulane Green Wave now. Go Tulane.
I'll be
But having the, like, it felt like under Chris Paul so often, we'd hear a quarterback was supposed to be good. We get a glimpse of them, and it's like, what the fuck has been going on behind closed doors? This guy isn't getting developed at all.
Yeah.
And this time to see three quarterbacks come out there and say, okay, all these guys are making progress, actually. Like, you know, if Austin Novosad had to play a game for us next year, I don't know that he could beat Ohio State next year, but could he beat Oregon State? I think we'd probably win against Oregon State with Novosad. So that's pretty encouraging to me.
I think a lot of teams would be very stoked to have a Novosad too. So, and I'm wondering if our NIL, because obviously even having Dante Moore and Dylan Gabriel on the same team is kind of an anomaly. And I think one of the reasons why they're happy is, I'm guessing our NIL is just really above so many fucking people right now. Mm-hmm. And is it enough where three quarterbacks can stay and be happy? Who knows? I imagine, I don't know about you, but maybe if, because we still need a couple people not to be on scholarship, I imagine some wide receivers should be going, because we just have so many options there right now, which, like you said, also seems crazy at Oregon to have choices.
How many are there?
I mean, like, playable ones, like really, really. I mean, Trayshon Holden, Kyler Casper, even like freshman Jeremiah McClellan, Tez Johnson, obviously, Gary Bryant, Evan Stewart, Jurian Dickey, Justice Lowe. God. Like, those are like absolutely like squad one or squad two. You would be happy to have.
I mean, you've got two guys for every quarter of the game right there.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's all we got to do. And there's many more, you know, promising or like freshmen, or it's really an embarrassment of riches compared to like, Aaron, do you remember like back in the Crystal Bowl era when it was like, well, we have Johnny Johnson III.
Mm-hmm.
He's our guy. If it's not going to him, we're absolutely fine.
Yeah. I mean, I remember the first thing I learned that really stuck in my brain in those early years was, we have a catching problem.
We did at that time.
We can't catch very good. Insane.
I yeah. could. Yeah. Oh my God. Oh, Cristobal. Yeah. Oh.
Sweet man. Sweet man.
He makes me laugh. I'll say that. I wish him success at Miami. Kinda. Like, yeah.
Nah.
You know? Nah. Yeah.
I'm out though. I'm done. Yeah. I'm rooting for failure now.
Yeah. I want ultimate disgrace.
Failure's funny, especially with the track record of like, if you leave Oregon, you will be cursed.
Uh-huh.
That's fun as hell. Like Willie Taggart, like flamed out harder than I thought someone could flame out. It was fucking amazing. Yeah, but who else was popping out that really impressed you? Whether you already knew they were going to be great or a new face.
I think a fun one definitely was Jay Harris. He's probably going to be our third running back, I think, behind Jordan James, Noah Whittington. He has a cool story. He was at Division II Northwest Missouri State. You cannot find any film on him on the internet aside from like 2 minute 30 long news broadcasts in some niche Missouri market. Mm-hmm. And it's pictures of him and you're like, holy shit, did they let Derrick Henry into Northwest Missouri State? And that's kind of what he looked like in action, a smaller version of Derrick Henry. But he looked really good physically out there. I mean, it helped for comparison's sake that I think he probably has an inch or two on Dylan Gabriel sitting next to him or standing next to him. Mm-hmm. He's a big guy. So Jay Harris looked great. All the running backs look good. Jordan James, I think, probably stepping into like the running back one role. And he's a guy who I like every game with him. He's not as loud of a runner as Bucky was. Like Bucky would be behind the line of scrimmage, juke two people, throw another guy off, stumble ahead for 5 yards. And it looked really impressive. And I love Bucky. I mean, I love Bucky probably more than anyone, but Jordan James, like subtly, just like you don't see him a lot throughout the game. Maybe he gets in the end zone once or twice. And then you look at the statue, you're like, holy shit, this guy got averaged 8 yards a touch. Every time he gets the ball, he's just going forward and making progress. And did that again in the spring game. So I'm super excited for Jordan James.
He had a season too where I think Duck fans are just, your average Duck fan is so stoked. Because even though we all love Bucky, it was clear like by the end of the season, maybe he wasn't at 100%. Meanwhile, to put in that fresh Jordan James was just like every time he got the ball, it was just like, you could tell there's room to improve from him still, but dear Lord, he is ready right now. Like the power that dude runs with is just bonkers. Yeah. Especially
I'm so excited.
Yeah, I completely agree with that one.
You know, you said Division II, and when I was rewatching the highlights thing, that seemed to be a phrase that was used a lot by the announcers. How many Division II guys do we have? Did we poach right now? What the fuck is Division II?
So there's the FBS. Those are the teams that that you'd play regularly. There's the FCS, which we'd play like one game against. Those are teams that you'd also see in pop up in March Madness. So like Portland State falls into the FCS bucket.
Mm-hmm. And then it's basketball this year, if that helps you.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for that reminder. and then the step below that is Division II. And I think that Jay Harris was the only Division II player we brought in.
Oh,
it's more of an funny state.
Maybe state. They just kept bringing it up because it was the one guy.
Maybe they're talking about D2, the Mighty Ducks. Is that a possibility?
Maybe. I think maybe they were just kind of saying it a whole lot. Like they used to love to say that. Like, who was it? Was, the brother of, but not by birth.
As Johnson. Yeah.
Where it's just like, Jesus fucking Christ. Say this one more time. Say it one more time.
I still saw super popular tweets that would just be like, because Bo Nix got drafted, you know, and it was loved the Broncos, as did Troy Franklin. And Bo Nix, like they had a picture of Bo Nix at home with his all white family, and then Tez Johnson was there too. So next
of course
there's just like crazy popular tweets being like, who's this not white guy hanging out with? It's like, you have not watched a minute of Oregon football, because every minute, the first 10 minutes, they're just like, His adopted brother.
Yeah, that's what they would say. God almighty. I think that's going to be so. I think this year what we're going to be hearing a lot is just like Division II player picked him up from Division II.
I mean, hopefully he really.
I swear I heard it four times. I just assumed we brought in a fleet of these lower level players.
No, that's not an Oregon thing. Not anymore, Aaron. Speaking of which, looking at the rest of the Pac-12 here, this is kind of where I always get really excited, really cocky. Mm-hmm. And last year I was a little mistaken about how we'd handle Washington, but usually I'm literally like, what defense in, it used to be the Pac-12, is going to take on our offensive line? The answer, nobody. What offense is going to be able to handle our D-line? Answer, fucking nobody. I know we're going into the Big Ten. So first of all, how much like info have you downloaded from Big Ten football?
For real.
I'm still waiting on, well, what the Hithloday series just got started, right?
It just with got Iowa. Started, absolutely.
I haven't got a chance to check that out, but that's usually my big piece of research. That does a lot for me. I mean, that series is really fantastic. Wow. So shout out to you all for doing that. Yes. Right. That will be a lot of the bulk of my Big Ten research, but otherwise I haven't gotten into it that much. I'm still like trying to maintain my connection with the Pac-12 schools and just like keep up with them. I'm hoping that, I don't know. I just am nostalgic for that and kind of still in that state of mind a bit.
Warning. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, warning.
It's like if Indiana, Illinois pops up on my TV, but Arizona, Cal, it's like, I want to watch Arizona, Cal. I'm programmed to want to give a shit about that, no matter how bad that team is or how good the other team is. Like, I know you exactly. guys are pretty similar. Like, you know, it kind of didn't matter if Ohio State, Michigan was on, if some bullshit Pac-12 teams were playing. Like, that's the fun part and the part that no one gave a shit about, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Hopefully we'll be able to find that again in the new conference. But for now, I'm still kind of, mourning it, definitely. And I'm sure I'll still find myself gravitating towards whatever it is, Cal, Stanford, Arizona, Utah.
I'm watching Arizona State. That's all that matters.
Shout out Dilly.
Oh, he's so great too. He's such a good advertisement for the Ducks too. I feel every time we like take someone away from Arizona State, be like, they couldn't be going to a better program. Like, I agree. outside of like some of the injuries, which obviously you never want, but we're just gonna assume. I don't know. I assume they're right. And then like the D-line was super fun to watch. It felt like they were pulling like a bunch of their best players. Like, you know, Birch got like some time, like he got a good amount of time, but there's no real, you're not getting the benefits of a spring game by having him play like every snap. It felt like, same with like the O-line stuff like that. I don't know. It seemed like a fun time. That's all I'm gonna say. It always does.
Exactly.
Have you been to a bunch of spring games or just this last one?
No, I've been the year before this and this one. So only two. Only times I've lived in Oregon with my own car. So
is it GA for these games?
Yeah, general admission. Exactly.
Just like $10 or whatever. What do they charge for this?
Free. Free. Encouraged to bring some canned food for a food drive. But gates are wide open. You can just walk in.
Let's get the word out on this podcast. If you're bringing the can, which you should bring, don't reach for fucking cranberry sauce. Don't bring for fucking pumpkin pie filling. This is creamed corn. Creamed corn. Creamed corn's maybe a little bit better, at least, but go for some primo can shit. You know what I mean? Don't get the stuff that.
What would you suggest?
Over and over and over.
Like an Amy's soup?
Amy's soup. That's great. It's a full ass meal. Right there.
There you go.
A can of Goya pinto beans.
There you go. Sure. Premium.
Premium. I think that company is evil somehow. I haven't really looked fully into it.
What about like a Nally's? What about like a Nally's chili? Turkey based chili.
It's a full meal. I've never heard of that, but absolutely. Basically anything.
Yeah. If it's between that and the pumpkin pie filling, whatever.
I might go pumpkin pie filling, honestly. No. Yeah, fucking love on. That shit. Here's the deal. I will buy the canned apple pie filling and just eat it out of the can. I don't give a shit. It's fucking delicious.
Water chestnuts, right the fuck out. Get those out of here. How am I going to use this?
Little baby carrot or little baby corns? Don't want them.
I kind of like the little baby corns.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I wouldn't want 20 little baby corns, which is probably what they're getting. But okay, I do like it in a salad, but maybe not canned. I don't know. Why are they so little, too?
They chop them when they're little babies.
It gets dark. So 12-0. Are we all, we're all predicting 12-0?
Absolutely. 100% 12-0.
I think that's what we've predicted. I've predicted at least 10-2 every season.
I said 11-1 last year and got my wish.
Yeah. Aaron, by the way, Aaron, we did with Hithloday. Hithloday, it's the great experiment. Hithloday, I, and Aaron all get together every week when the season's really getting started. We did every single Pac-12 over and under for the season win total. Aaron last year got 12, went 12 for fucking 12, which the
wow. That is really impressive.
Yeah.
No knowledge, basically. Absolutely no pre-existing knowledge of the football teams themselves, but literally just vibes.
And I have decided, I think it's great to be going, you know, I honestly am looking forward to next season and being kind of past the Pac-12 because I do not have allegiance to any house.
Yeah, you kind of.
But I think what'll be really great is that I'll be able to retap that universal connection. And I do believe when we do predictions next year, I am definitely going to write them down so I can go put money on in Vegas.
I'll do it for you. I'll do it for you.
Boom. Done. You say that every year, and yet I'm still not a millionaire when I should be.
You only did it once. I'm legit incredibly excited for this season. Especially, it helps so much that we have in fact beaten Ohio State now. Like, there's been one time where we beat Ohio State with not even this great team. It's like Big Ten. I'm kind of going into it thinking, I don't even think this Oregon in the Big Ten thing is actually going to last 10 years.
I don't think that it's going to last in this way for 10 years. Definitely. I don't know.
Under Aaron, over or under.
Oh, us being in this thing for 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't it seem like what they're doing is the great reshuffle until it's just two leagues so that we can have an NFL type experience where they culminate at the end in a little playoff situation?
Basically, but even in the NFL, you got divisions.
That's true. Okay, 10 years, definitely over.
Okay.
You can't affect change that fast unless they've already, I mean, you know what I mean? That's like a huge.
At any moment.
I guess that's not true. They did it in 1 year. Yeah, where we said, right, okay, yeah, definitely under. Sure.
And then it was done.
I mean, I'm going to say 3 years.
In 3 years, we
will be. Because we're going to win three national championships in a row, and then it's just going to become one of those games where it's like, how much money can we pay you to come into our thing so that we can get our viewership on your team? You know what I mean?
I like it. Reed, is there any aspect of this Big Ten experiment that you're excited about? Even for the little of things coming up.
So I will say that I think the most frustrating part of the 2023 season was, not to sound like a nerd here, but I'll put my Hithloday cap on.
Nice.
We only got two real data points against like top 10 caliber teams. And it was two games against Washington, and it was against a Washington team that we matched up very badly against because of our weak secondary play and because our top two corners got injured in both games and our safeties didn't have the range to keep up with all those guys we just saw get drafted. Mm-hmm. And so what I am excited about is going to the Big Ten. Now we're going to play Ohio State most years. We're going to have a Michigan. We're going to have a Penn State or a Washington. They're not going to be top 10 again for a long time. Maybe never again. USC is their defense. But I think we're going to get to play a few of those teams in different styles that are top 10 caliber throughout the year. And then we're going to go to a 12-team playoff most years, and we'll get to play another one or two or three of those games. Mm-hmm. So I think through that process, we're going to play a lot more high-end teams, and we're going to learn a lot more about how good Oregon is in the process, because right now we have like such a small window to view what did 2023 Oregon look like against a top 10 team. Like, could Oregon have beaten Michigan? I have no fucking clue, because we never played a team built like mm-hmm. Michigan who was anywhere near that caliber last year. I'm excited to just see more about how Oregon stacks up in general. I wish that didn't have to come at the expense of playing our historic rivals and all the West Coast teams, but I think that aspect of it will definitely be fun.
Do you think you'll make it out to any of these? Is there a spot you're specifically trying to make it to?
Penn State's probably the one that I have left. I don't know that I care about Ohio State that much. And I checked off Wisconsin, I think would be fun. I did make the trip out 2015. I went to Oregon at Michigan State, the Vernon Adams game, the glossy white helmet.
Cool.
Awesome. Yeah.
It was a bummer loss, but love me some big play VA.
It was a bummer of a loss, of course. The broken finger. If his finger wasn't broken, we win that game. He overshoots Byron Marshall on the sideline. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that morning was Oregon State at Michigan. So I did a double header with some of my friends. We went to the big house in the morning for the Oregon State Michigan game, drove an hour and a half to East Lansing for the nightcap. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I don't know the geography of any of these things. I went to U of O. They don't teach that kind of shit. But I'm kind of planning it all around, like, what city do I want to go to? I've never been to Minneapolis. That sounds fun. I'll watch.
Oh, my God. Go see all the Prince stuff while you're there? Fuck yeah, all day.
I'm excited for Oregon Rutgers, because then I'll just go to New York while I'm there. You know? That's close, I believe.
Rutgers.
Yeah. Yeah, Chicago, you got...
Chicago, exactly. Like, I've never been to Chicago. I'm fucking stoked for that. Watch them play on a practice field and then go over to Chicago.
I know. That'll be fun. Yeah. Spoiler alert. Hopefully you're going in September and not in November or December. But
The other thing is, like, I want to see, like, the stadiums or whatever. But then it's like, okay, the game's over. What the fuck am I going to do?
Fly home?
Fly home. That's it. That's the most exciting part. These places we're going to suck, Aaron.
Yeah.
They're boring.
You've been to New York? Fucking pathetic place.
Yeah.
Truck stops. Well,
New Jersey. Yeah. What can I say? Well, we just wanted a quick chat here because it is a spring game. What can we really get out of this? Not that much. But we got the connections here with Pac-10 Reed. We wanted to get you on to complete the circle. I think, we have gotten everyone except for, let's see, Greg, we've gotten Carlos, we've gotten Avery. Is it Matt?
Yeah.
We need to get Matt on. He has turned us down multiple times, so we're going to pretend like we're rejecting him.
You're not missing much with Matt. You'll
I mean,
okay.
That's what I always thought.
Yeah. We got the best. We got the absolute best one. Reed, please plug not just No Truck Stops Pod, but also Ducks Pod. At Ducks Pod is where you can find out the Quacked Out podcast.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, we do Ducks Pod as well, me and my buddy James. A lot of fun. If you need more Ducks talk, we're trying to fit in this tapestry that we have built of different Oregon podcasts. A lot of good ones out there. So we post once a week during the season and stuff. Give us a listen if you want more Ducks conversation. No Truck Stops, of course, some broader Pac-12 stuff. We'll get into the Big Ten a little this year, too, I think. So that's fun. Follow me at Pac-10 Reed on Twitter if you don't know who I am. But, thank you so much for having me on. It was a great time. Love this podcast, definitely. And hopefully we'll chat again sometime leading up to the season.
Literally anytime. We are looking for content because we're going in the off season.
What I think I just realized?
What's that?
Are there teams that are sticking together and keeping some form of Pac-12 alive? Is it going to be the Pac-8 or some shit? No, what is going
Pac-2.
On over
here? See, this is the best thing about the Pac-12 is it's breaking news all the time. Because Aaron will forget about the thing.
I don't know nothing.
Oregon
I thought we
State.
All left.
No, it's just Oregon State and Wazoo. They're the only ones holding it down.
And they're going to keep calling it the Pac something.
I know. It's insane. They're playing all the Mountain West schools, like all in their schedule, but they're like, we're not Mountain West.
Great.
We're still the Pac.
Cool.
Even though it's like, you for can't, it.
You know what? I used to hate both those teams, but now I'm pro them. This is great. Outlaws.
They kind of are outlaws. It is kind of cool. Yeah. Their Twitter bases are pissing me off so much that I'm now against these underdogs, which I never thought I would be.
Yeah.
But they hate us because they ain't us, my man.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, no, that's the real West Coast football right there. It's
beautiful. Beautiful.
State. Beautiful bastards. All right. Speaking of which, I love you too. I'll catch you next time you're on the Quack 12, which Aaron will be next week. Thanks so much. And once again, at Pac-10 Read, at Ducks Pod, at No Truck Stops Pod, and at Quack-12 Podcast is what you should be following. Give us all 5 stars. Leave a comment. Leave a review. Say something nice to No Truck Stops Pod, all right? They've had a lot of wacko right-wingers kind of destroy their algorithm.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're fighting the good fight to get above 4 stars. We're constantly, we say something bad about BYU, we get bombed down to 3.7. Yeah,
I mean, I go at them weekly. I destroy them.
They're more popular.
I like to shoot shots at TCU for zero reason whatsoever, just because it's fun.
You take shots at literal Oregon players for no reason.
Hey, that's not funny because we had that one incident.
I don't remember. We'll talk about it off
the
air.
BB gun incident.
All right, baby. Oh, there you go. Oh, my God. All right, y'all. We'll see y'all next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.